Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to our next call in Transform Emotions into Energy number 5. We are heading into transforming worry, and worry, much like all the other emotions, has a healthy role to play. The only time these things end up not working out very well for us is when we make them personal, when we think that this is ours to worry about, or this is a anxious thing that we need to attend to, as worry has a tendency to head into that along with fear. We'll talk a little bit more about anxiety in session number 6, and we'll be covering all the other combination emotions as I discussed yesterday on the integration call / catch all the other emotion combinations call, as I'm going to call it. And as we head into today, the earth element is what we're up to for our spleen and our stomach meridians, as that's in Chinese medicine the understanding of where we transform worry. And when we transform worry into what is working well for us, it's meant to create clarity from confusion. Confusion is a really interesting term. Confusion, if you look at the Spanish translation of it, the etymology literally translates to mean with suffering. With suffering. So, and, oh, pardon me, that's compassion, I apologize. I'm jumping ahead to next day already. I'm really excited to actually get into the fire element, so that's tomorrow. Confusion means with fusion, pardon me. So it means that something is actually fused together. And when things are fused together, they traditionally need a little bit of space and a little bit of time to begin to pull apart. Almost like if you imagine, like, you know those Christmas lights that get all tangled and you have to try to untangle them before you put them up or do anything with them? The essence of making a little bit of space in order to see where the cords are all tangled and giving that some time, some space, and begins to slowly pull apart and untangle is the image that I'm going to give you for how confusion generally sorts itself out. It requires a little bit of time and some patience to sort through that all. And as we work with that, eventually things get a little bit clearer, a little bit clearer, or there might even be that, you know, when you get that really big knot undone and everything just like, whoop, you're like, ah, there it is. That is the essence of how clarity can also arise. So as we hang out with the earth element, this is honestly probably a second close favorite, as well as I mentioned the fire element is a fast and firm favorite. And you probably heard me say that about a few things at this point. I have a lot of favorites. The earth element is a very close favorite though, because it's all about finding the sweetness in life, about finding that joy in life. And it's actually meant to do that. When we come to clarity on the other side of confusion, we land in our essence, and our sense of presence begins to become that much more palpable. When we have a strong essence and a connection to that sense of self, traditionally things work out a little bit easier for us. We can often navigate changes in a way that bring peace, and that's actually the role of the entire earth element. You have an entire support system that's meant to provide you peace. It's meant to create changes in your life to help you land in that sense of peace, with also balance, and it's also meant to come in particular with the quality of stillness, that peacefulness, meaning we're so at peace in ourselves, can create and land into a sense of stillness, meaning that there's nothing to do or nothing to change, that we're literally content with things as they are. Now, if you're thinking, not so sure about that, that might mean that there's something up with your stomach or your spleen. There might be something going on there. So we're going to get into the stomach and the spleen in just a moment. I just want to let you know the other piece of information that both of those meridians and the earth element tend to govern and have an influence over, which is our general health of our tissue and our muscles. The general health of our tissues and our muscles. Okay, and I'm just looking at the things that are popping up in here. Okay, it's all for the session. Great. And as we now head into the stomach and the spleen, I'm going to also incorporate a little bit of information from the astrological houses. So let's start with we've already talked about the first two houses with the lung and the colon. Now we're going to head into excuse me, my dog's knocking everything over all of a sudden. One second. He was trying to cool off. It's been a hot day out there, and he keeps getting a little restless. And each floor spot, it gets really warm really quickly, so then he has to move over to the next spot, and then he keeps doing that. So you might hear a little more background doggy noise. So Charlie says sorry for the interruption. Now he's ready to get settled again. As we head into the houses, number 3 and 4, know that we've talked about the first one with the lung, the second one with the colon. The third house is very much that of the stomach meridian. And this is very much about the conscious mind. It's about your capacity to digest the world and assimilate things via your conscious mind, your conscious perception of things. As it does so, it's also going to contribute to your capacity to digest your food. Fluid is food and fluid, by the way. So it helps you to digest your food, your fluids. And as a result, it's actually referred to as the sea of nourishment, because it's meant to assimilate not just that, but again, all of your emotions, your experiences, all of the events in life are meant to be assimilated in a way that creates change, that's meant to lead to more and more peace, and that quality of stillness. It's said that the feminine heals in stillness. The feminine heals in stillness. I like to think of the stomach meridian as like a straw. And it's a straw that literally like helps to suck energy up the body. And as it does so, it helps to keep us aware with our conscious mind of all that's happening out there from a place of deep presence within us. So that way the sense of being in here as well as out there all at the same time becomes something that's effortless, meaning we can retain our sense of self and respond to life's events without having to sacrifice ourselves, yeah, or without having to manipulate our sense of where our attention is, or having to withdraw, or having to leave our body in order to deal with that thing. There's meant to be an easeful reciprocal interchange in our world in that way. The stomach meridian also will govern a few different muscles through our neck. And the levator scapulae, I talked a little bit about that on the first day, helps to lift your shoulders to your ears. So all the way through the neck, we have a lot of muscles that insert into the very back of the skull, where the skull joins the spine in that region all the way across. And this area, I think of it as being very dominated by the stomach meridian, by your conscious mind, and it's also considered by many different traditions and modalities to be a lot like those belts of fear that we talked about yesterday around the diaphragm and the clavicles. It's like there's a third one of sorts right around this area where the skull joins the spine, and this is thought to retain information and fear specifically around your transitions in life. Around when you're first born, around anything else that has to do with your sense of separation and being separate from or in connection with, pick your word for it, spirit, God, divine, whatever the word is for you. So this area is actually thought to be an interesting spot. And there's a lot of things that show up here that can lead us to a place of disorientation. Disorientation is actually a trauma response. So depending upon the birth that we had, and most of us, if we've had a medical birth, have some sort of thing related still with birth. And we think in body talk that most of our issues around birth and the time before in the perinatal realm, in the transition, not just of birth, but all the months that you spend in the womb, as well as coming into conception, inform all of the patterns that play out later on in life, and they continue to rinse and repeat for us in many different facets. Can be traced all the way back to the specific time of birth and the perinatal realm. So as we work with a sense of feeling maybe like we didn't quite transition the way that we wanted to into this world, that can lead us to a sense of always feeling a bit foggy or confused. And that in turn can create a sense of disorientation. If you're prone to disassociation, meaning you're prone to leaving your body in stressful times or for whatever reason, and about 80% of the population has a fair amount of this happening, you might even be doing it and not even realize that it's happening, The thing that we can work with is to actually, there's a little trick. You can actually, if you want to get back into your body really quickly, really easily, do this. Make little teeny tiny movements, and you might not even see them. I'm actually exaggerating them a fair amount. Almost like a bobblehead would make. You can imagine like a little bobblehead that's on your dash or that you see it on the people's cars bobbing around. That's in essence the little teeny tiny movements that your neck is making. The same time as that, taking, if you can imagine, the four corners of the back of your skull, all four of them pressing directly back to the wall behind you. As you do that, you can imagine your energy coming back into you as you press your skull towards the wall behind you, making those little teeny tiny movements. And it's a really easeful way for you to call yourself back into your body. Most of the time, we disassociate because it's more comfortable. There's something out there that's easier for us to stomach, literally stomach, than it is to be in here. So as you bring yourself back in, you can also bring in that quality of whatever that source of comfort is. You might have a sense of, oh, it just feels so light out there. Okay, so as you do all of the things that I mentioned, the bobblehead and the four corners of the skull moving directly behind to the wall behind you can also imagine breathing in that quality of lightness or whatever it is that's out there that you are finding comfort in. Whatever your word is, whatever the quality of comfort is, as you breathe that in, coming back into the body. If, however, you tend to disassociate by getting super tiny and like holing up somewhere in yourself, then that trick doesn't work quite the same way. We have to add it on in a different way. Instead of calling us back in, we're already well within, it's by means of imagining that as you make those movements with the skull pressing back towards the wall, that part doesn't change, that you can literally like reach out and come out to the very edges of your body, mind, your psyche, your soma all over again. Okay. As we make those sorts of bigger transitions in our lives, you may also feel at times that we're disassociated or disoriented with all the big transitions and change. And it's really common in Chinese medicine for when we're going through big shifts and changes like that, to notice it in our wrists in particular. We might end up with sore wrists. We might end up with like ligaments or carpal tunnel or something along the lines acting up on us and creating inflammation in here. And in Chinese medicine, we literally have a term for this. It happens a lot with new mamas, and we call it mother's wrists. Mother's wrists. Okay, what else can I tell you about the third house? Let me come back to that. The third house is very much about our expression. Hard to express ourselves if we're not in our body. It's very much about left brain development, and it's very much about mental activity in general. It connects us with the planetary energy of Mercury. Some of us might have heard of Mercury as it's the planet of retrograde that seems to throw things out of alignment every so often. And Mercury is a bad rap that way. Mercury is actually meant to bring in curiosity and clearness, clarity in our communications. When it goes into retrograde and it causes us hiccups or seemingly does that for us, that's a sign that something isn't flowing very well for us. And we're supposed to actually take that opportunity to see what that is, to stop and pause. And anytime there's that frustration energy that goes with it, it's actually a call for us to move, as anger moves things. Frustration is a form of anger. And to move into a new awareness, a new insight, a new clarity around how it is we are dealing with our lives, how it is we're showing up in this world, how it is we're coming present into our communications. Okay. If we're prone, however, to feeling like we're in misinterpretation mode, either other people are misinterpreting us or we're just a little confused and misinterpreting things in our world, or we might even feel like we might even feel like we have mental irritability, like we have a tendency to be really in our heads a lot, overthinking things, overanalyzing things a lot. This can all tie into stomach meridian things. Your stomach meridian, by the way, also hangs out just below the eyes where it begins, and it gives rise to healthy eyesight. It literally helps you to see things that nourish you. It helps you to draw in a healthy vision of all that nourishes you. By contrast, the spleen, which is more House Forsa, the spleen is actually going to work with a sense of taste. It's very much about being able to receive through the mouth things that are healthy for us to take in. Your spleen correlates more to your subconscious mind, and if it's working really well, then we're sharp, we're clear, we're aware of what's happening in our world. If it's not working so well, you might be prone to a variety of symptoms. I mentioned the mouth thing. It shows up as having really pale lips, not a lot of blood in the lips. So it might be really weak in that color palette. We might also be prone to temperamental moodiness, the old-timey term that was a bit more prevalent maybe in your grandparents' era, is the term splenetic. Splenetic. I think in different cultures, though, it's still used today. So it might be more popular in other parts of the world than it is over here in Canada, anyways. We don't tend to use that wording a whole lot here. Maybe in the UK or somewhere. I'm not positive on that. But the term splenetic used to refer to a sense of moodiness. And in Chinese medicine, if you have a bad spleen, that was a way of saying they're so moody and irritable. It all becomes one thing related to congestion somewhere along the spleen meridian. It's not that you have a bunch of things irritating you, it's actually that your spleen meridian is just off and it's not allowing you to peacefully see from a place of stillness within you what's up. Okay. And the other symptoms that go with this is a tendency to pain and coolness or numbness on the inside of your leg. The spleen is all about lifting energy up. And if it doesn't get the chance to lift things up, meaning it's not well balanced and it has some things going on in it, it'll end up getting heavy and it'll end up falling down. And as it does so, that heaviness might even with it create prolapsed organs. So if you've ever had things like a prolapsed uterus, this is a thing related to the spleen meridian or any other organs that are prolapsed. Okay? It's all related to the spleen. Along with things like being confused in our mind, having mental sluggishness, heaviness in the mind, in essence, nightmares, obsessions about the past, insomnia can tie in here as well. If, on the other hand, it's nice and strong, then we might be actually really prone to having clear analytical thinking, good memory, good cognition, good intelligence, great ideas, great creativity that way. And we're also prone to being able to be open, to trust ourselves, to accept, to be impartial, to see life through the lens of equanimity. There's a balance that's really honest and clear here. We'd also be prone to having really good tissues in our muscles. We wouldn't have like weak limbs or muscle atrophy. And our sugar metabolism would be on point. The spleen meridian governs the health of your capacity to digest your sugar as well through the pancreas. Think of the spleen meridian as governing everything to do with the pancreas and its capacity to take in the sweetness of life and feel the embrace of the universe. The spleen meridian is also connected to your lymphatic system. So if you have lymph issues, you might have something going on with that spleen. It also governs your thymus, which is that center that we've talked about a little bit so far. It's very much about the protection and the way that you've organized how it is you stay safe in your world around you that was informed primarily through childhood experiences around acceptance and rejection. And that's a little bit, it does a lot of things, but just giving you a bit of a taster for this all. It's connected to the fourth house, and the fourth house is very much about that same theme. How is it we've consolidated our personality to make our way in our external world around us? How is it our memories have come together from our first 3 years of living to create a way that we can be at ease in the world, or potentially not so easeful if that didn't come together real well for us? It's governed by the planetary energy of the moon, which is all about our subconscious personality, as is the spleen. And the moon represents our shorter cycles. So how is it that we are navigating the things that play out on a regular rhythmic basis in our lives that aren't necessarily like big cycles, not lengthy and long, but they're more like the shorter things, like what happens in your day, what happens in your week, what happens in your month as the moon evolves over 28 and a quarter days. We can also tie it into anything that's happening within the menstrual cycle. And the spleen meridian also plays a role in that. All right. I think I'm gonna leave it at that. Oh, I'm gonna talk briefly about the spleen muscles. The spleen muscles are primarily around our traps, throughout the middle and the lower traps, not so much the upper ones, that's up here. The middle and the lower traps come down lower into the back body. So they give our back body a sense of strength and tone, and they help us to feel like we've got a backbone. Yeah. And as we work with that, know that the energy of having a backbone is also connected, even though this is a very much pardon me, a yin meridian, it's all about the feminine. Our backbone is very much connected to our masculine. So this actually does a little bit of interplay between how your feminine energy and your spleen meridian feels supported and protected, like someone's got its back, by your internal masculine energy. And I'm using the terms feminine and masculine, much like I do yin and yang, in that same traditional Chinese medicine sense, as something that's a balance here within us all. Roughly 50-50 is present in all of us, or else our qi wouldn't be there. We wouldn't actually be alive from a Chinese medicine sense. Okay. Let me talk about the other thing that this plays into, which is your latissimus dorsi. That goes all the way down that back body as well. So it's actually all encompassing through most of our back body, through the middle and lower traps, which are more in the upper back, and the lats, which carry down through the side and even into the lower back there. Okay. All of these things, the entirety of it all, is meant to generate nourishment for you. It's meant to help you feel like you are a part of this planet and that you have the right to be here. That you have the right to be alive and nourished through the lens of peacefulness, stillness, and balance. And as we connect to all things earthy, we connect to the Schumann resonance, the vibration of the planet itself. They've shown studies of, for example, astronauts before they knew this, the astronauts would go into space without the Schumann resonance in their spacesuit present. They ended up getting quite sick. They aged quickly, they developed diseases, they tend to die pretty young. When they figured that out at NASA, they started to enhance the awareness of what was happening with that all. And they basically, I don't know how they did it, but they scientifically found a way to incorporate the vibration, the frequency, the hertz of 7.8 to be in the spacesuit. So that way, the astronauts were surrounded by Earth energy even when they were in outer space, which kept them healthy and whole. The same thing plays out for each and every one of us. If we are open to slowing down enough to receive the energy, the frequency, and its nourishment of this planet, we open ourselves up to healing a tremendous amount of things. This is why we see all the studies out there around grounding and how healthy it is for us. I'm sure you've heard, go barefoot as much as you can, that sort of thing. This all ties into the Schumann resonance, which, yes, gets activated in various different ways through solar flares, but for the most part, is meant to be there as a source of nourishment for us to take in and receive and to keep ourselves supple, healthy, capable of thinking clearly, to respond in ways that continue to draw in more and more nourishments. All right, I'm going to come to the chat feature and just see. Heaviness at the bottom of your butt cheeks. That can be related to, that's the question I'm assuming, is what that's about. The bottom of our butt cheeks, and well, really most of our butt cheeks, are encapsulated by the bladder meridian. And the other thing that ties in here is our Yuan Qi, W, pardon me, Yuan. I'm gonna spell it, and I can't always talk and type at the same time. I'll put it into the chat feature there. Yuan Qi is your overall vitality, and I think I spoke about it. On the first call, when I went into the kidney and the bladder, just briefly, I just touched in on it. In essence, it's your sands of time, it's your vitality, and how quickly we burn through our Wan Chi, which comes through our ancestral lines, is going to be dictated by our lifestyle, our stress levels, etc. So our Wan Chi has a tendency to get depleted if we're wasting our Chi, meaning the Chi that comes in through the air and the Chi that comes in through the food, the respectively Chong Chi and Gu Chi, are meant to mix together to create that nutritive Chi, the Chen Chi, that flows into our system via Lung One. And without the essence of that flowing through us, we don't sustain our Wan Chi very well, and we tend to burn through it really quickly, meaning we're not going to last as long as we could be. And it's said that our body, it's said by scientists more in the Western world, not so much Chinese medicine, I'm not sure what their take on this is exactly, that we are a machine that's built to live around 200 to 300 years. 200 to 300 years. Way back when, we were all dying at 30 and 40. Now we're closer to somewhere around 70, 80, maybe 100, depending upon your family genes. And the essence of that vitality seems to be extending in certain ways, and yet we're still dying pretty early considering what our capacity and fullest potential is. There are reports over in Asia of people commonly living to 100 plus, especially in areas like Okinawa, Japan, and the like, where we see a high population of people over 100 that are not just aging, but they actually have a quality of life that goes with it pretty well. What else can I tell you about that? I think that's probably good for that point. Let me take a look and see if there's any other questions here. Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Yeah, got it. Okay, I'm saying and yep to all the things that you posted in the chat feature about what's up for y'all today. Thank you for that all. Okie dokie. Let's head into the session. I've already been speaking for a half hour already. My gosh, time flies. Know that for those of you who might be wondering about the rhythm of Buddhas and butterflies, since we're talking about the rhythm of things, as Earth Elements is very much about that, in particular our spleen and pancreas, the rhythm of Buddhas and butterflies is actually just devoted to sessions. So we spend the entire time in sessions. Think of this as a bit of a preview behind the different emotions. So that way you have that awareness coming into Buddhas and butterflies. If any of you feel called to join us for our year-long offering, that will begin in early June. And you can find out all that information in your course on the very first lesson. It'll give you some info on that if you'd like more details. All right, for now, I'm gonna invite you to cozy on in, making any little adjustments. And as you begin to settle in, getting those wiggle woggles, shake shimmies, fidgets, and you're welcome to move as much as you like during the session. I'm just simply inviting you to do that on purpose right now. And as you let yourself land a little bit more deeply into your seats, into potentially a prone posture where you're laying down, I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And as you settle in, if any part of that that feels good for you shows up, breathing that energy in and savoring it. And then I'm going to invite you, if you're inward, you're welcome to keep your gaze inward. If you're outward with your gaze, you're welcome to look around outside or inside of you, whatever you feel drawn to do. And as you gaze, I'm going to invite you to look in all directions, up, down, all around, 3D, letting your attention land anywhere that feels pleasant, easeful, beautiful to be with, or even simply neutral. And as you land there, noticing what it is you like the most about this thing. And then savoring that. Receiving this as the nourishment that it is. And breathing that in just a little deeper. Notice what happens inside of you as you drink that in deeply. And whatever you're drinking in, notice how the body and the mind seem to respond to that energy. What happens inside of you that feels good or pleasant or easeful to be with? As you take your attention to that, savoring this too, drinking that in just a little deeper, and mindfully receiving this nourishment. In ways that you don't actually have to direct, in ways that you simply get to allow for it to flow and be present, however it is. This is not one more thing you need to manage, deal with, direct. This is your opportunity to receive it without having to do anything. And on that note, I'll express my gratitude, my thanks. My thanks to you all for being here, and my thanks to all that goes into that sweet opportunity to connect in these ways. Thank you to your families that created you, your ancestors, your lineages. And thank you to the modern day villages that surround us to show up as the family that we've chosen. And thank you deeply to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands that have nourished us all, our villages, our families, ourselves, those that have come before, those that will come after. Thank you. It's a gift. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Blessings on your journey today. Okay. Interestingly enough, we're starting off in House 12, the House of Endings, releasing, surrendering, allowing. The House of also making space. This is the House of the liver, which helps to release toxicities, which helps to digest the things that are frustrating us. And we're particularly looking at the things that seem to get in the way of you having enough time, space, balance in your life to actually create spaciousness for nourishment to be here. And we're looking at all those frustrations that seem to block that. And as we work with that, there's actually a bundle of belief systems that we need to unhook here. And it's this idea that's present in our hustle culture that says, I can't slow down. And if I stop, I'll die. If I stop, I'll die. This has literally become a matter of life and death to rest and pause, somehow, is being equated with the potential of death itself. And as we begin to release that through the liver, through the 12th house, linking it now to the stomach meridian as a whole. As you work with the stomach meridian that begins just underneath the eye, there's a series of points that go down the stomach meridian. And I might get this slightly not quite right in Chinese medicine terminology, but it's often thought to be the internal dragon sequence. And I forget the exact numbers. The internal dragons, we can look that up if you're really curious what the number is. But essentially, there's a point that begins just below the bottom of your sternum, about a half an inch or so. And as we work with this particular point, it's right by the diaphragm. And there's this sense of needing to somehow control what it is you're taking in, control what it is you are receiving, to the point where it's actually blocking receiving useful nourishment and having things just magnetically arrive to you. So as we work with that point, we're going to move down now to the next series of points. Now it's going to become bilateral, so there's going to be two points. The next one is on either side of the navel, the very edge of your rectus abdominis muscle, there are stomach meridian points that hang out here. As you work with these, we're giving yourselves permission, affirmation if we're in breath work, to think of this as I belong here. I belong here on earth. And for anyone who thinks there is no way I am from this family, this line, this planet, I'm definitely from the Pleiadians, the Arcturians, the starseed energies that are out there. I invite you now to imagine that for whatever reason you're here now, so you get to consider yourself and as part of the planet. You get to land here fully now to really take in and experience it, to support your capacity to digest life, emotions, experiences along with food. And then we're going down to the next set of points, which is if we take your fingers, not including your thumb, it's about two of those hands width up from the edge of your knee and going to the outer edge of your leg. As we work with it, this particular point is tying into how is it you wish to have your intellect guide you forward in life? How is it we rely on our intellect, our logical brain, our left brain, to be able to move us forward in life? And there's two more points. And if you were to flex your big toe, there's actually a series of two tendons that create a little bit of a hollow on where your ankle is, in the very front of your ankle. It's roughly in the middle of the ankle, that might be a better way to put it, right where the foot joins the lower leg in that crease. And these points can get exceptionally tender. The ankles are very much related to making choices, making decisions. And the thing about the stomach meridian is it doesn't make the final choice, it just has clarity in all the options. It's meant to work with the gallbladder to make that final choice, that final decision, as we talked about the gallbladder on day two, in session two. Know that as we work with this particular set of points, that we are working with how it is you're not just moving forward and stepping forward, but how you actually don't need to make a choice. You don't need to make a decision here. You can see the choices, you get to have choice, but we're going to take the pressure off of needing to make a decision from your conscious mind, from the stomach, and put it back in the arena of the gallbladder, because that's where that decision actually is meant to happen in a way that will continue to take in the information from the stomach to help you to nourish and to be really clear on what it is you want. That's going to create even further balance, stillness, and bring in changes that again align in a peaceful way for you to allow you to literally, in a good way, while you're living, rest in peace. What if you didn't have to die to rest in peace? What if you got to have that here and now? And what if that was actually a part of your birthright? And as we work with this series of points, it's actually highlighting a whole lot of excess worry stored in the connective tissue that surrounds the skull. A fancy name, I might say it slightly wrong, Gala Aponeurotica. Gotta take a running start at that one. And as it works with this connective tissue, almost like a helmet, so to speak, that surrounds our skull and goes down into the connective tissue where the skull joins the spine. All of that worry energy around trying to figure out what to do, how to do it, how on earth could I ever see a way that could even work, through the frustrations, through the all the other noise that happens in your world around you. We get to unwind this connective tissue that's so tightly bound here. In fact, it's also tightly bound by the neck musculature, and its connective tissue is as if I could hyper exaggerate, it's as if is happening. You can imagine all that tension through the neck muscles is actually pulling the scalp, the head, downward in a way that those worries have you hang your head low versus being able to hold it up high and receive all that comes from this perspective. That tendency to look ever so slightly down, or potentially you are noticing that you actually look downward a lot, is also hyper exaggerated in our tech neck culture, meaning we're looking down at our phones or our tablets or our laptops or whatever it might be. It's down there. And as we begin to unwind some of that through the neck musculature, through the skull, the scalp, and the connective tissue that runs here, it begins to also loosen up the jaw joints. As we go right into that area where the skull joins the spine now, running the permissions. It's safe to feel here. It's safe to feel here. And as we open to feeling, we also open up to taking in that sweetness, that joy of life. And to support that, along with that release of worry through here, we're going to link what we call in body talk pancreas reflex point. In Chinese medicine, we call it spleen 21 point. About one hand's width down the outside edge of your armpit, roughly, right around that baby joint finger. It's in body talk, the pancreas reflex point version is thought to only exist in the left-hand side, but no, in Chinese medicine, spleen 21 hangs out with both sides. It's bilateral. This particular point, really good, especially on the left side, at balancing all things left and right, balancing all things yin and yang, working with integration. It helps us also to take in, as I mentioned earlier, that sweetness of life, to feel the embrace of the universe, and helps us with sugar metabolism. Now, this is also the last point in the spleen meridian, and as that ends, the chi flows all the way into heart one, which goes right into the armpit. If you can see where my thumb is pointing, it goes right into the very center of that armpit. And if you were to dig in really deeply, you'd be in your subscapularis muscle, which, if you've ever had a massage therapist dig in there, creates its own special, unique source of pain. You definitely know if you've had that work done before. It's one of the rotator cuff muscles. So it also helps us to open up that chest, as we worked with yesterday, even more. as our chest opens up, the heart begins to open. So we can think of this all as helping your heart to open by taking in the sweetness of life, helping your heart to open by means of feeling embraced by the universe. And what seems to be there, and it's really, really calm, and I see this regularly with folk, is the internalization of shame. The times in which you felt like, I am bad. You took on the identity of being not okay in some way, shape, or form. That might even be, I am crazy. I am neurotic. I am fill in the blank. And there's some essence of shame here that gets internalized, and there's meaning made around things that actually weren't meant to lead you to that conclusion. Through no fault of your own, that programming got conditioned when you were quite little. Happens to most of us, to be honest with you. And even those of us that didn't suffer from like tremendous trauma in our childhood, we still tend to get that conditioning to some degree or another through even just mild incidences, like we go to show mom or dad or a caretaker a painting that we drew and the phone rings, the mom and dad turn away and they ignore you, and then you think, oh, I did something wrong, I must be bad, what I created must not be good enough. Whatever the logical conclusions are that you would draw from those things when the parents, the caregiver meant no harm, yet that conditioning slipped in. And that internalization of shame, the more it becomes familiar and the more we hang on to it, it begins to form its own little identity. So we're actually unhooking the identity from here, from that place, between these two acupuncture points. Oh, I am shameful. And as you release that identity, running lymphatic drainage as the spleen governs that, through the very hollow of your bone, through the very core of your system, letting all that overthinking, overanalyzing, low self-esteem, along with toxins, gunk, and waste, begin to release through the hollows of, in particular, the upper arm bone, the upper leg bone, as well as the rest, but it's in particular stored in those areas, as we touched in on that yesterday with our work on grief. And as it releases through here, just to remind you, yesterday we worked a lot with that being related to the balance of doing and being. And as we release this lymphatic circulation, along with the shame, the shamefulness, through these bones, it's linking into dad's side. We're going back a fair ways, 14 generations. And we're going into the emotional frequency, not surprisingly, of worry, but particularly anxiety. I mentioned that worry can lead to the realm of anxiety, as can fear, and often worry and fear combine to create that. And this particular ancestor that was in this place, on dad's side of the family lines, hung their head in shame for not being an adequate provider, for not being able to adequately provide nourishment in the form of food. They hung their head in shame around not being able to hunt well enough to be able to offer their family, themselves, sustenance, nourishment, life. And as they hung their head in shame, after several failed attempts, I mean, things that went on for like years here, they just had the worst luck. The other people around them actually ridiculed them, and they made fun of them to the point where all that shame continued to pile in deeper and deeper and deeper, year after year after year. And their partner, their community, and their folk around them had to carry them around, which that created even more shame that they weren't able to contribute in ways that they knew that they should be able to, yet somehow couldn't. Things just weren't coming together, and they felt like a failure. And I wonder how that might relate to you in your life, whether that's right now, in your past, wherever that theme might have shown up. And as we release this, we're also releasing from you, from your body, here and now, the essence of I am a failure. And that is coming off of stomach one point, which hangs out just below the eye. What if you didn't have to see yourself, your world, your perception through the lens of anticipated failure? What if you could hold your head up high without having to anticipate in those ways? And as we do that, releasing the belief system itself of I will fail, and unwinding that now, the I will fail, from your will, from your sense of will. And part of our will structure actually gets carried in our neck musculature through part of our scalenes. I didn't talk about those as a muscle, but they're related as a part of your neck flexors, extensors. They're in the mix of all of that. Okay, and as we work with that neck musculature, tying it in again to the stomach meridian here as well. Releasing the that goes with it, the belief system that goes with it, is the identity of I am gullible. So we have I will fail along with I am gullible, meaning I'm willing to swallow just about anything in order to attempt to succeed. As we release all of that collectively, it's linking into house number 8 in astrology, which works with death, rebirth, and regeneration. So without those belief systems leading the way, coloring your lenses, I wonder what might be available. I wonder what might be able to be seen. I wonder what might be possible here. As we hang out with that contemplation, running a cellular repair, restoring the cells of a part of your stomach back to their fullest potential of health. We're going to work with the bottom portion of the stomach right before it joins on to the duodenum, which is a part of your small intestine. So right at the very basic, pardon me, at the base of your stomach, we're working with the acid base level, the pH. How basic or how acidic is it? It is meant to be slightly more acidic to help you to digest your food here. And we're actually going to run hydration on the specific H. pylori that contributes to having an appropriate pH balance and supports your capacity to digest here. If it's in the right frequency, meaning if it's available to just the right population here, the microbiome that's lining your particular portion of the stomach here. And as you run hydration here and here, helping the cells of your bottom of your stomach now, as they're being repaired, to also take in the sweetness of water, which we see in body talk is representative of joy. Helping you take in water is a metaphor for receiving joy, along with taking in all that is here and releasing any impurities, taking in the pure, crystalline structure of the water molecules in a way that naturally repels any toxicity, any form of debris or residue that no longer is in resonance with your system. And as it does so, releasing another layer of anxiety. And the anxiety related, pardon me, belief system here that's related is, just finding the exact wording. I swallow poison. I swallow poison. And this is actually related to the poison that's at times in our food, our water, our air. And there's actually a concern and anxiety around the things that you're taking in through your system that's hanging out here. So we're actually going to run a body chemistry on that. And we're going to, you can imagine casting like a little net at the base of your stomach that is like a sieve and it catches all that doesn't need to be here. This body chemistry helps to release any toxicity, any intolerances, any unhelpful microbes that are competing, as well as any particular things that are creating allergy or in excess inflammation in the system. And as this little net, so to speak, this little, almost like a fine mesh, catches all of that, it's able to filter that out without it going down into the digestive system tract, creating an overload for your system to clean out down below. And as you release that, also releasing anger. Now, this is like red hot anger. This is like fury. Not quite rage, but definitely fury. And as you release the fury, and with it, that sense of sort of like fieriness through again the base of the organ of your stomach, we need to run circulation of all the healing resources through here to remind your stomach what it is to actually receive healthy nourishment on a regular basis again. It's almost as if it's got into the habit around being, quite frankly, ticked off around what it was consuming. And I don't mean just your food, your water, your air, but also everything else that you encounter in your world. And it began to get disgruntled, which just attracted more things that disgruntled it. Essentially, it was turning into a cranky 80-year-old before its time, the cranky 90-year-old, the cranky 100-year-old before its time. And as we work with it, bringing in the healthy resources that circulate, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that again drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower that inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous and our immune system alike to heal. Also balancing yin and yang, feminine and masculine, running one more hydration to take in that water, that joy, and release any impurities. And then we're linking that all to the fourth house, which is actually the house of the spleen. It's also the house where we learn how to interact with our environment in a way that actually makes things more easeful, in a way that keeps us protected and safe. And as we move from the stomach, third house arena overall, and head into the fourth house, on the other side of releasing that disgruntled energy, it becomes even more useful simply to be in the world. And here in the fourth house, working with bringing in the planetary energy of the moon to provide her energy, provide all the things that the feminine does, which is that of nurturing, of coolness. That helps to literally cool that excess heat that was in the stomach now off. And as we cool things down here, releasing that need to be in that chronically agitated, irritated, inflamed state through the stomach, all the way into the spleen, it allows for the mind, conscious and subconscious alike, to also cool off around how it's perceiving its world around it. So, where is it you'd like a bit of a cooler head in your life? We can imagine the moon coming in to work her magic there. And as she offers her wisdom, her essence of almost a grandmotherly type of a quality, imagining that you get to lay your head in the lap of a wise, wise woman who allows for that coolness and all your worries to lay down and integrate, to be met with kindness, with hope, with love, with care, with affection, with attention that supports you. As you drink that coolness in through the mind, in through the head brain. It begins to actually slowly filter down into what your brain, what your mind governs. What does it govern? What doesn't it govern? I'm going to argue, I'm going to put forth that it actually supports pretty much every single thing we do, as we notice it connects to the heart brain, the gut brain, our enteric nervous system, to all of our nerves and our entire body mind. And as we give the energy of coolness, attention and care, support in this way, via the energy of the moon, through your entire nervous system and all that it's connected to, all of you. Notice what it's like to stand in the light of the moon, potentially even imagining that you are in the brightest moonlight you've ever seen and borne witness to. And as that continues to heal by means of offering healthy instinct energy, as the moon is known to do, along with maternal love, creating and recreating and recreating again what it is to habitually come to your feminine instinct, meaning we can instinctively connect to what nourishes us. What nourishes you from the inside out can be drawn magnetically towards you with greater and greater ease here. Linking that into the energy of the sixth house, which is very much about taking practical action that supports your energy of your body, your mind, and giving rise to practical, healthy action that continues to carry this nourishment through you. And as it comes through you first, it then slowly trickles out to those around you. As you magnetically draw in this energy, teaching others that are around you to do the same, whether they be your loved ones, your little ones, whether that be your clientele, whether that be your friends, your family, whether that be your communities, your world at large. To all that you serve, to all that you stand in connection with, creating a web now that nourishes you, that continues to ripple out. Every breath, letting it ripple out just a little bit more and inviting it to flow through you now. And what if you didn't have to direct this either? What if all you had to do was open to receive it and be willing to stand in its essence? Bringing in here the definition of the consciousness of surrender. Surrendering to what supports, what heals, what cares for you. As we open up to receive that I am shameful begins to fade even more into the energy of the earth below, and it drops away naturally. Any last little residue associated with that shame that says this isn't for you, any essence that may have been prohibiting this easeful flow, begins to drop away. As we tap here, invitation to breathe and receive. Then we're running the reciprocal of the sphenoid. The sphenoid is arguably the most important bone in our body. It hangs out of the center of the skull. It connects all the other skull bones. And it's meant to rock and move with our breath, which helps to also regulate our hormones. And we're connecting that sphenoid bone through to your tailbone, your coccyx, which is the rudder that steers your ship. What direction are you going? The sphenoid to coccyx connects heaven to earth. No need to wait. You get to steer your ship in a way that brings even more clarity in through the sphenoid. And the sphenoid gets to connect to the chi flow of all the meridians and shines them onto the brains for you to stand in all of that glory of chi, all of that vitality resonating through to your cognitive functions, through to memory, through to the capacity to focus, supporting the capacity of the spleen to house our thought, to give rise to being able to clearly focus on what matters most to you. And linking that into one more thing in the spleen meridian, which helps us to think when we should, as well as helps us to keep our thoughts adaptable, supple, and helps us to do it in a way that supports our natural rhythms in life, our natural capacity to have that rhythm in our thoughts and our minds be supportive to giving rise to clear perception, to clear action, to clear paths forward in life. How is it we wish to move forward as we walk on this path on this earth? Running the permissions here. It is safe to stand in my essence. It is safe to stand in my essence. It is so, so safe to stand in my essence. With all of that clarity, being able to stand in your essence without having to grip, without having to do it in a way that's defensive, but in a way that simply allows you to be supple and adaptable and flow through life. Giving that all a slow, deep breath. We're going to tap that part in here as we integrate our work today. And then, if it feels right to you, you can imagine bringing in that resource that you found earlier and breathing that deeply in through you. And I have a song. This one is about 4.5 minutes. It's called Dust, and it's by the artist Trevor Hall. It's from the album Unpack Your Memories. I'll pop it into the chat feature for you as well. I invite you to breathe and receive nourishment in any way that feels right.
Drifting like a leaf in the summer. my sky. Hope a little one day you will see that what's inside of you is what's inside of me. Who am I but the dust of the Most High, drifting like a leaf in the summer sky. What's inside of me?
Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for being all of you. Thank you for bringing it all here. Mwah. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Thank you all. I look forward to our next session together tomorrow evening at 6:30. And then we carry on Friday at 6:30 with integration work, as well as on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. All those times are in MDT. And on Saturday, we actually are going to be switching gears. We're going to be doing breath work, not body talk. So it's definitely going to be a change of pace. And on Saturday, I also have someone else joining with me to co-facilitate. So you'll get to meet Marcus. Him and I have worked together in a number of different ways together. And he'll be here to support the breath work practice. He's very skilled in these territories as well. So you're most welcome. Thank you so much for being here. And it's a pleasure to get to serve you all in this way. And I'm really glad that that provided something deep within you. Yeah, you're most welcome. Blessings, y'all, on the rest of your evenings or mornings. Some of you are awake at like 4 a.m. to be here, and that does not go unnoticed, so thank you kindly for showing up in all sorts of hours to be here and gather with us live. Okay. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Bye for now, y'all.